So we have this story about, a lady that we knew something was up concerning, it was a project of taking some money to someone that needed food. So we looked for the place in the apartment area in the Kent, Ohio area, and we get to the building complex. We couldn't find the lady's home. She just needed food. So we go to the offices. We found the offices. I walk into the office, and there's a lady, jumps up out of her seat, and said she could not believe I walked through the door, that she'd been praying, and I had seen this lady for years, and sitting in the chair right across from her, an SRA chosen one, highly demonized. Matter of fact, had cuttings all over her arm. She just got back out of the hospital. She'd been cutting deeply. Began to talk to her. The office worker left us alone. We had one other staff member in the room. The individual began to manifest demonically. Subpersonalities began to come out and talk and tell us about where the ritual sites were and what was being done. This is a girl probably in her early 20s a few years ago. And it's a area that we've been prayer mapping and looking for, the ritual site that goes back to the Nazis, the Black Flame. And sure enough, we found it. Operative there for probably 55 years or more. Demonic rituals being done all those years right there in Kent, Ohio. Hey, this is the Ragged Edge Radio Broadcast. This is Russ Dizdar. Glad to be with you tonight. God loves you. God knows you. God desires you. No one like him at all. He's the one on the cross. Says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. No greater friend. And this is God. And this is the one that holds indestructible, irreversible immortality in his hands. Glad to be with you tonight. This is the Ragged Edge, and we're doing a broadcast, maybe even a series at this point. As I looked over this, we're talking about some of the basics in demonization, oppression, attachment, attack, possession, piggybacking, and in the air. But what about this, the supercultural areas of influence? Doctrines of demons, fantasy, writings, gaming, music, movies, art, foods, jewelry, contaminated homes, apartments, and areas, occult objects that need to be burned, by the way. What about this? Les talked about relational spiritual warfare, trauma. You know, through rapes and so forth. The pain, the terror, the fear, the passivity, the handing over of spirits. What about just sheer transference in the context of relationships and families and in sexual relationships? The newer warfare areas are occult warfare, anything in the area of the New Age, the occult, the tons of possibilities. We're going to break it down to spells. How about rituals? How about astral projection? What about the objects purposely demonized? Do we not recognize these and realize that because of the biblical, the unveiling of the dark side's aggressive manifestation in the end of days? And there's no end of days without the dark side. There's no Antichrist, false prophet, opening of the abyss, Armageddon. None of that occurs without the broadest, deepest, widest manifestation of demonic presence ever in history. The Ragged Edge Radio Podcast. Backdrop to all of it, if you're brand new, welcome. And the website is shatterthedarkness.net. Now, you can go to the raggededgeradio.com. You can go to prophecyprepared.com. You can go to siiucrimes.com. You can go to, we have a number of websites. But the primary website, it's packed. It's like a library. You got to go back and look at it again and again and again. But shatterthedarkness.net on the web says categories of demonization now and what's coming. That's tonight. That's right now. I want to tell you now about Nephilim Mounds Conference that's coming up in September. Yeah, that's a number of months away, but the last 2 years we sold out. Last year we sold out 2 months in advance. This year we have a larger venue, really unique venue, And we have Chief Joseph Riverwind coming to share the Native Indian story of the Giants, their tradition, their knowledge of it, the reality of it here in the United States. Myself, I will be speaking there. Russ Dizdar, L.A. Marzulli on the Trail of the Nephilim. Gary Stearman from Prophecy Watchers will be here also. And Fritz Zimmerman, who's an expert on the mounds. It's going to be very interesting. Here's some of the, we're going to put out a trailer, a little kind of video trailer here soon. Are the bones of the Nephilim being found? How about an occult history, quest for Nephilim DNA? What about the Native Indian history with the Giants? How about transhumanism, the gods and the coming 3.0 human, Nephilim and the alien connection, prophecy and the beasts to come, the new age and the DA activation, more biblical evidence of giants after the flood, more evidence of giants at the mounds, and more evidence of a dark spiritual agenda to seek, whether through backbreeding or direct, a return of the Nephilim. Listen, if you've been to the Nephilim Mounds conferences with us in Newark, Ohio, right there where the Nephilim, I believe they were here. I believe that's what the Indians say also, the Giants were there. So you're dealing with Nephilim grounds. We're going to be there in Newark, Ohio, September 12th and the 13th. Please sign up quickly in the beginning, because when we sell out, we're going to be very clear that we cannot add you in later on. And we're saying that to let you know. We had so many last year that wanted to come in. Some folks just showed up and thought they would try to get in. A couple did, not everybody, but a couple did. We're glad that you're considering it and thinking about it. We have such great fellowship, great things that occur. Looking forward to you seeing you at the Nephilim Mounds. Number three, the most, I think the most pertinent, up-to-date, information about what millions and millions, I mean, the occult is talking about it, the New Age is talking about it, the Satanists are talking about it, the transhumanists, the New Agers as a whole, so many groups, and it is a massive discussion to get into. It does involve the concepts of spiritual warfare, especially if there is the attempt for the backbreeding and the bring. Does biblical prophecy tell us that Theron, which may be hybrids, are they coming? So we're going to take a look at all of that and responses to in the context of the mission of God in Christ. Well, listen, I've got to read today also an email that came in. Before I do that, I want to mention also another note on Facebook. I appreciate that. If you go to shatterthedarkness.net, right-hand corner, up, just there's the Facebook area. Just go there, because we put up stuff every day to give you more information, the conference materials, other radio interviews and so forth you'll get a hold of. But I told everybody about a week ago about law enforcement contacted me from the Kentucky-Cincinnati International Airport, where somebody on a shuttle bus number 13, walked up to the bus driver, handed them a key, and said, "This belongs to Russ Dizdar." To get it to Russ Dizdar, they gave the email address, gave the website address, they took it in. And somebody asked today on the web, on the Facebook page, what about the key? Well, we engaged them, I think, three times. And we have an individual trying to engage them for us to get the key. They won't give it to us because we can't prove that it is ours. Nevertheless, they're only going to keep it 60 days. Somebody wanted me to have a key. Not sure what it's about. Not sure what it goes to. Obviously, the person that gave the key there at the international airport, I've never been there, so it's not something I lost. Somebody gave a key. If you gave the key, and obviously you're a listener, we encourage you to contact us another way. We haven't gotten the key. You might have to contact the airport police, lost and found, whatever it may be now, and see about sending it a different way. Let us know what the key's all about. We're wondering if it has to do with underground human trafficking and kids in cages. Hey, you keep us in your prayers. ShadowTheDarkness.net. We're going to be out on the field all over the place throughout the rest of the summer. The next big conference, Pikes Peak, Colorado, in August. Then we're going to have about four more from September into November, all the way down to Cincinnati and the occult crimes Satanic Crimes Conference we're going to do here in our area. So keep a heads up about the conferences coming. Thank you for the prayers. You all know, many of you know, 6 months we've been really, really in the middle of things, and we're still half packed up, half out, half in. We're waiting for the days to get it all done, and so we can provide better, and that we will not be moved away from our spot. So you keep us in the prayers. I'm really, really grateful for that, especially with today's context. But let me read you a note that came in. I don't want to do this very often. I haven't responded to it yet. It just came in. I just looked at it. I will not mention the person's name since they don't have permission. But I'm just grateful because I know that there's folks that have gotten saved, ministered to, some that have said they've gotten delivered, and I've gotten many letters like this from all over the world. By the way, pray for us with the Hotbird satellite to be back on there in the Middle East. We're worldwide by the internet live streaming. We are Global Star Satellite. We are the archives, 250,000 per month downloaded, 150 nations of the world. But I know that God is going to broaden it. Let me just say this too. We don't say it much. If you want to support, we need that. If you want to invest to help us launch broader, take a look on shatterthedarkness.net, right-hand side, support tab. That's all we're going to say. That's our only commercial. But here's what the letter says. Brother Russ, I would like to thank you for blessing me and teaching me from all of your wisdom and experience. I pray for you, Shelley Charity, constantly. I pray that the Lord keep his hand of protection on you, your family, and team. I cannot wait to finally meet you in heaven and praise the King of Kings with you for eternity. Now that one chokes me up. Here's what it says, quote, I respect you for following God's calling in your life. I love all your YouTube videos, radio broadcasts, and classes that are offered on your website, just as you told me. They're saying this about their relationship with the Lord now. I have told the Lord, yeah, here am I. And that's when I mention Isaiah 6, here am I, Lord, send me. So that's what he's probably responding to, and I appreciate that very much. A tremendous thing. Your life couldn't be more blessed than to give it all to Christ. He says, I have told the Lord, here am I. I will follow him, the Lord, and want only to do God's will. He's saying in his prayers to God, to the Lord, send me into the mission field, dear Lord. I love you, Brother Russ. God bless you, your family, your team, and your mission. Without a doubt, listen, I will die well. My name is, and he gives his name, when that time comes. I will go out with integrity and witnessing to those around me and praising Jesus, just like my namesake. I love you, Brother Russ. Well, let me tell you, my brother, I love you, and I appreciate you sending me a note like that. It means the world. I know when I sit behind here, there's no one in the room. I never let anybody be in here because I just close my eyes at times and ask the Spirit of God to guide in the midst of whatever preparations, because sometimes a word of knowledge or a word is just given. A Spirit of God gives. He knows who listens live. He knows who listens by the archives a month from now and what you need. One of the things that I think is going to strike today is the words spoken in the Gospel of Luke chapter 4. Now, it was written 700 years prior in Isaiah in prophecy concerning Christ coming and the ministry Christ would have. Now here's in reference to Jesus, well, here's what he says, verse 17, chapter 4. And when he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Now, please let me set this up a little bit. I'm doing a series, a massive series that's going to take me all of 2015 to complete, called prophecyprepared.com. You can go there. You can see we've already got 13, 14 of them up, the basic ones up, the introduction. There's another 40 messages on prophecy to come, teachings. And I want you to know verse 17 is Scripture being written in light of biblical prophecy and it being fulfilled on the spot when the Messiah, God in human flesh, is there. So in verse 17, when he handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, Jesus was given the book. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Listen, because in verse 20, here's what he's going to say. He closed the book, that is the book of Isaiah. He gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. I mean, we're now talking of Christ, the Messiah, 700 years prior prophesied to come, Emmanuel, God in human flesh, and he does. And he stands there taking the very prophecy written about him 700 years prior. And he quotes it. It's an evidence of his of the fulfillment of prophecy, the accuracy of God, the infallibility of God. It is an evidence of what God said would occur, that this is the Savior of the world. This is the one that has come to give his life for the world, for you, for me. Listen, I don't know what's important to you. There's nothing you can think of, the sum total of things you can think of that could be more important than this. A Savior that loves you, a Savior that has come for you, a Savior that is God in human flesh, a Savior that holds the physics of God when it comes to immortality. All the fix of the issues of the fallenness and the evil, the radical evil, the all of this, the fix is in Christ. But it's because not that God just has the ability to fix it, and not just because he wanted to, but because of a love for us, because God loved us. And what's proclaimed 700 years prior to Christ's coming has everything to do with spiritual warfare, everything to do with deliverance, everything to do with liberating us. It has everything to do with what Jesus does. Are you in bondage? Are you addicted? Demons on you? Are you in the dark side? Where do you stand? Are you blinded and arrogant? You're going to lose your soul? Listen to the words of Jesus quoting from the prophet Isaiah, now written in the Gospel of Luke, the fulfillment being done as he speaks, and the ministry about which I'm going to speak here is being done today, may even be done while I read. The power of God, the ability of God, the ability of the living Christ, Arabs, listen to me. The Savior is the Prince of Peace, and he's here to save you. He's here to love you. You could be drawn into personal relationship with God. Listen to the words of Jesus as he's quoting out of the book of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. That is the brilliant good news. To preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight for the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Anyone poor, anyone brokenhearted, anyone captive, anyone blind, anyone oppressed, any prisoner. I want you to know that Jesus came to do this. This is what he does. This is what he does during a live radio broadcast. This is what he does when people listen to a podcast from a year ago, the archive that's up and downloaded freely around the world and heard because they're hearing the words of Scripture. They're hearing and the Spirit of God is, Jesus has come for you. He's come for the poor. He's come for the brokenhearted. He's come for the captives. He's come for the blind. He's come for the oppressed. Even the hardened sinner, even the one gripping the darkness with every ounce of your darkened, blackened soul, he's come to liberate you. This is Jesu Christu, Jesus Christ. May the Spirit of God fall with power and might, convicting, drawing, convincing, and leading anyone listening to the Savior. There is nothing bigger, greater, more important. Tonight as we go over this is simply an overview. I may spend 10 weeks and 45 minutes on each one of these. When we do the radio broadcast, we always do about 10 minutes of news and things and so forth. I had a major thing to tell you. I don't have time now, some of the new stuff. But I want you to know that I'm really thinking about going over each one of these for about 45, 50 minutes each. here's why I want you to know this. Listen, if you knowingly had to walk through a minefield, some people that wouldn't even know they were walking through a minefield or an improvised explosive device and so forth. I mean, some people are just blown to bits by surprise. Now, spiritual warfare, you can see it in some senses as like walking through a minefield, because it can blow your soul to pieces in the sense of blinding you, captivating you, taking you, and you losing your soul. That's what Satan wants. It's not what God wants. And for the believer, battle and, you know, your life can, spiritual warfare can be like an explosion if you don't know, if you don't know the victories that are found in your Savior that is given to you. It can also be like walking through a cow pasture. Yes, that's right. And I've walked through many cow pastures in my growing up and living and kicking around and riding motorcycles in backfields and so forth. And the issue, whether minefield or cow pasture, is the issue is where are you going to step? What do you got to watch out for? And so when biblical prophecy in the current day that we're living in shows that there's massive dark side buildup, massive new doors to the dark side, and massive new ways in which demonic presence is engaging individuals all the way down to kids, little ones, then parents and all of us need to understand that spiritually speaking, we're in a minefield. Spiritually speaking, if you're a believer, you know, the world isn't just pure. It's like a spiritual cow pasture, and you've got to watch where you step lest you get affected. Right? Now, I'm saying this because the biblical revelation of the dark side, there's no fall of the human race without the dark side's engagement. There's no history without real spiritual warfare. Now, the naturalists, the deists, they're blinded to this, and they can't help themselves, and they can't help you, nor the existentialist, nor the nihilist, nor the, you know, atheist or the agnostic in all their anger and all their loneliness and all their other stuff. Let me tell you again, even for you, Jesus has come to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind. For you. Let's go over the top six issues that believers need to be concerned about when it comes to spiritual warfare. Number one, oppression. Number two, attachment. Number three, attack. Number four, possession. Number five, piggybacking. Number six, in the air. Let me go over each one quickly. Oppression, like Peter and the disciples, if you remember, Jesus said, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you guys as wheat." In the Greek, it's plural, meaning all the guys. And Jesus says, "But I prayed for you guys." All is in the, it's plural. So the attack was meant for all of them, though he was addressing Peter. And he was addressing all of them. Because entered into the room, they didn't know. See, this is where oppression, nothing gets past Jesus. The omniscient ability of God knowing where every demon, every assignment, where Satan is, the legalities issue too. I mean, God's just on top of it. You cannot outwit God. You cannot out-strategize God. You cannot hide from God. Perpetrators need to realize that, let alone the dark side. That's true. So when Jesus said, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you guys as wheat," it occurred right then. The request, the engagement, Satan came. You've got to understand John 10 when Jesus said that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. In every work of the demons and Satan, even when they're masquerading and deceiving people, as long as they can hook them, they'll give them a little bit, only to hook them deeper. But turn on them, they'll turn on you. They've come to kill, steal, and destroy. Ephesians 6, it's a battle. Your struggle is not against the physical, it's against the spiritual. 1 Peter 5:8, your enemy, the devil, is seeking whom he may devour. So I'm going to tell you that all believers are going to experience oppression. Subjectively, it's the idea of, the cloud, darkness around you, a sense where your prayer's not getting through. You feel like not praying, feel like not reading the Bible. You feel oppressed. Instead of the joy of the Lord, there's like a darkness around and a pressure and maybe a little bit of agitation. Satan came and asked to tear up the disciples And when he struck, they were all scattered. They were all running in fear. So the idea of being, you know, scattering away, fear comes in, agitation comes. Peter's even out there cussing. Oppression, when it hits, yeah, it's like the cloud. It's like something. And there's a lot there. If you begin to recognize what oppression is, and you have, and you do as a believer in Christ, have the authority of Christ, Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, you can not only be aware of it, but, you know, stand up. You know, Lord, what is this? What's going on right now? The Lord rebuke you, Satan. I command every demonic presence, get out of here. I call it clearing the air around me. Because the enemy likes to bring oppression. I believe in some senses, in Ephesians 6, the arrows, you know, the Bible says, put on the full armor of God, lifting up the shield of faith by which you can put out, extinguish, annihilate, literally, all of the flaming darts or arrows of the enemy, sent by the enemy. So there's a sender sending involuntary communication or feeling. All of a sudden, you're oppressed with feelings of God's not with you. You're not going to, you don't feel like gathering in church. You don't want to read your Bible. You don't want to pray. Oppression pushes you away, bogs you down. Thoughts begin to come in. Feelings begin to come in. Doubts begin to come in. You don't know where they're coming from. Listen, when you realize that's oppression, stand up and unleash prayer and rebuke the enemy all around you. Ask the Lord to deliver you and stand and claim yourself, you know, in the faith and the truth and so forth. Exchange all the lies he's sending with truth. And you'll find out that the sense around you, the atmosphere around you and what's all over you, instead of oppression and dark and anxiety and whatever else, all of a sudden the power of God, the joy of the Lord, and the clarity that God brings in Christ. Second is attachment. You can read about this in Ephesians 4, where the Spirit of God tells believers, you know, be angry, but don't sin. Don't let the sun go down in your anger and give the devil a foothold. So you're commanded not to give the devil a foothold, topon, a legal right to grab a hold of an area of your life. Don't give him any foothold. If you want to stay in anger and stay angry and stay angry and stay angry and be bitter and be, you know, and so forth, you're going to give the devil a foothold. Listen, any acts of the flesh, if you stay in it long enough, unrepented, if you stay there long enough, strong enough, unrepentant, you are giving the enemy a right and a doorway to grab a hold of that fleshly sinful area and make it a real stronghold. You got to repent of your sin, renounce giving any room to the enemy, and yielding to Jesus. That's the way of your freedom. If you're wondering why you have so much, and it does seem like oppression, but you're so caught, you're so bound by anger, you're so bound by lust, you're so bound by some of the fleshly things. Well, if you read Romans 6, have you read that? To whomsoever you obey. If you're a believer, if you obey and walk in the Spirit, you're going to be liberated, empowered, and freer and stronger. If you get back in the fleshly, the sin nature issues, if you give way to some area like anger and bitterness, and that becomes a habit, becomes a controlling factor, then the enemy has a right to grab a hold of it in a sense. We call it an attachment, and to kind of hold you in the area. What you got to do is recognize repentance and remember Romans 8 that the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free, that is permanently, from the law of sin and death. You read Romans 6, 7, and 8. Sin, if you're a believer, you've been set free. You got to recognize and reckon that freedom and yield to walk in the Spirit, and you'll have great liberation and victory and strength. Number 3. Attack. Ephesians 6 tells us that our struggle, our battle, our warfare is not against flesh and blood. And then it lists the types of demonic entities. And then it tells us that we're to put on the full armor of God. And listen, if you want to have the manifest, felt, sensed power, might, and strength of God in you and emanating through you, well, then Ephesians 6:10, be empowered by the mighty strength of the Lord. How do you do that? Put on the full armor of God. Leave it on. Now, on our website, on the spiritual warfare websites, we have a lot of teaching on this, and you know, you're not going to get it all in 1 hour. So there's hours of teaching. In spiritual warfare alone, there's probably 60 to 80 hours up to now, the new stuff, for you to take hold of. It's all free. It's all anything that I put out there would be I would teach at a Bible school or a Christian college. I mean, that's the level of the stuff. So it's there for you, and just download it freely. Been downloaded in the last 5.5 years, over 15 million, and that's great all around the world. And we'll seek to do better in all of the ways that we can try to give it to you. But we want you to know that the Word of God in Christ, I mean, when we're yielding, and listen, the power and the victory, it works for us if you're going to walk with the Lord. But attack comes. And attacks are like with Job, when numerous things occur, when, you know, a lot of uncanny issues in your house, the car, sicknesses, things, all kinds of things line up and begin to come and hit you. A bunch of things are hitting you with a message. Give up God. Quit ministry. Stop this stuff. You know, when Satan brings an attack, multiple things come into your life over a number of days, can be even a number of months. And that's tough. It is tough. That's when you need to run to the Psalms and read and seek the Lord and stand your ground. That's when you need to learn how to resist the devil that he flees from you, James. You ever read that in James 4? Come on. When attacks come, you can either cower, fall under it, be crippled, be bound, be kicked out of, you know, your ability to minister, and 6 months later when it's all away, you can regret that you gave in and caved in so much. You don't have to. Yes, you can become stronger and broader, spiritually more capable. That's what's putting the armor of God is all about. You've got to do that. You've got to submit to God, resist the devil, that the devil may flee from you. You've got to use your authority to rebuke any assignments and spiritual attacks, commanding it away from you. You've got to stand and proclaim the word of God over your life and in the presence of Jesus. Do it until you know you just, God's presence and power is in and all over you. That's what we're meant to be. The will of God is to be filled with the Spirit of God and of power. It's a real relationship. And the enemy tries to interrupt that. Number 4, possession. The Greek word diamonozoid, Mark's Gospel chapter 5 is probably the best picture of that kind of possession, where in a non-believer, you know, the demonic takes over, there's many demons, and the human being is utterly, absolutely possessed and taken over and controlled and owned by the enemy. The only liberator, the only way out. And the demons know this. You've got to know this. We've got to understand this. The power and the authority of Jesus. You ever read 1 John chapter 3, verse 8? The reason the Son of God appeared, manifested, was to destroy the devil's works. The demons feared him. He had authority. He was able with a word to command them out of people. He would say, ekbalo, or ek, get out, a command. He didn't touch demonized individuals. He just commanded the demons out. And when you look at Mark 5, the demons go out of him, back into their realm. Well, they wanted to go in the pigs first, of course, and they did. And then the pigs went off the side, and you know the story there. And demons don't stay there. Where they don't have rights and where they don't stay, they're, in my opinion, is they're kicked back into their own realm. They got to look for new rights. In Mark 5, possession, manifested possession. We've dealt with that a lot for years. And we've seen the authority of Jesus that's compassionate also, that liberates a tormented, possessed, and controlled and owned person. In almost every single case but one that I know of, people immediately turn to Jesus and get saved. Number 5, piggybacking. What does that mean? Do you remember in the scripture when Jesus was headed in a certain direction and all of a sudden, impulsively, Peter tries to get him to stop and go a different direction? Jesus turns around, get behind me, Satan. You don't have them. There may have been very clearly here, and I'm just saying this is a principle in church we need to understand. If you and I realize that a real believer who grieves the Spirit of God begins to act in anger in the flesh in some way and stay there, that then gives room for the devil. If the devil wants to send some, you know, arrows in, some words, some communication, some lies, some, you know, spiritual barbs at you, I'm just saying that believers that are losing in spiritual warfare, giving room to the devil, is they're giving an area by which the enemy may piggyback over them to strike out at another believer. Over the years, 39 of these in full-time work, you know, I've got to see a lot of times when believers spoke in the sin nature, the flesh, the old ways, but it seemed stronger and sharper and more of an attack at times. That's when I begin to realize, you know what? They're in the flesh. They're so deep. They're giving room to the enemy, and it seems like the enemy is coming right up over them and using their unrepentant fleshly area to get it, not only at them, not only, you know, thrusting some lies there, but the enemy can use backslidden fleshly believers within the body of Christ, within the church, to create trouble. How do you deal with that? Well, one is recognizing it, and then, you know what I do? I say, pray over the head of the person. Pray the Spirit of God convicts the fleshly believer of their sin and opening doors. But you know what? If you're recognizing that the enemy is operating through a backslidden, angry believer who won't even know they're being used in the wrong way because they're already grieving the Spirit and they've lost their discernment sensitivity. They don't even know. They're just in the flesh and they're miserable and they're backslidden. I always say this way, pray over their heads. In other words, attack the demonic that might be trying to use some of the fleshly area of their life. Strike the enemy from the avenue by which he comes. And then speak to the believer when you need to. Don't forget Colossians 3:16. Just mark it down when it comes to dealing with other believers. Sometimes it's not just sin issues in believers' life and sin issues that are causing troubles within the body. It's the sin issue that opened the door to the enemy, and the enemy's there adding dark fuel to the dark fire. And you can just simply rebuke the enemy when you see that, pray over the person, stand there, rebuke that, and you can also pray the Spirit of God to bring conviction, let alone be called to minister to the person. Now, two things, mark it down, Chapter 3, verse 16. You know, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. Admonish, netheto, meaning confront. Or Galatians chapter 1, those who are spiritual, those who are spiritual, when others get into this kind of a trap, you got to go minister to them. You help get them out of this. I don't want to see believers. It's not just a matter of rebuke. We're not Pharisees going around with rocks to just destroy someone. As believers, we're going redemptively to get them out of their flesh, to get them out of the realm of the enemy using them in any way, and getting them back in the joy of the Lord. That's what we're here for. Anybody wants to be a Pharisee? Well, you better go read Matthew 23 and see what Jesus said concerning the Pharisees and those kind of folks. Number six, the in the air. Now, in Ephesians 6, when it says that our battle's not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and I've said it in the Greek, cosmocrators, archon, the exousia, the porneus, pneumonica, the different kinds, the species of the demons, in a sense. But they're there to battle you. But it mentions that they're in the heavenly realms. Or Satan, the prince of the power of the air. That is right above your heads in the actual atmosphere. And so sometimes when I have really sensed walking into a house, coming into an area, and many believers that are really, you know, on target and spiritually on target, they're able to discern. I mean, after all, you do have God the Holy Spirit in you. Greater is the one that is in you than the one that is in the world. This should be very familiar to us. 1 John 4 is very clear. If I sense dark presence in the air, I don't have any problem praying. I don't have any problem asking the Lord to come. Now, you can feel it sometimes in church services when you get there somehow, some way, whether it's somebody that has a demon that walked into the service, somebody that's a believer that's in the flesh deeply over a period of time, letting the enemy use apart, you know, their unrepented self. Other kinds of warfare. I mean, Jesus had it. I mean, there's Jesus. There's the disciples gathering with Jesus. They didn't sense anything in the air. Jesus knew. They didn't. They're not. They weren't experienced yet. I think Peter became more experienced later. I think when he wrote 1 Peter 5:8, he wrote it out of his, not only by the Spirit of God in giving scripture, grapha, but out of his experience. He knows what it is to be hit up and loose. He also knows from Pentecost on how to have the power of God. I mean, look at Acts chapter 5. The Spirit of God is in him. He's filled with the Spirit of power and of God. And too deep, you know, Satan is infiltrating the church through Ananias and Sapphira, trying to get in and bring corruption. And Peter stands his ground. He's not running this time. He's there to speak boldly and clearly. He knows that Satan has got into them and filled their lives to bring corruption. So he wins. And that's what we're meant to do. You may have some losing, but I'm going to tell you this. Believers who lose again and again and again, because they're ignorant, maybe they have not been taught spiritual discipleship, warfare principles. Well, go get taught. There is so much now to where you can go get it. I got most of mine not from church on Sunday morning in the 40-minute sermon, but from the study and the reading and the study guides. And as I said, we're putting everything we can, we're going to put probably another couple hundred hours of training materials between now and next January. So we want to load, and remember this too, when it comes to the MP3s, they're free for everybody worldwide. They're downloaded over 15 million times, of course, but make CDs. I don't know how long the internet's going to last. I don't know how long that's going to happen. And I just now noticed something else kicked in here from the internet. Absolutely bizarre. The Lord rebuke you, Satan. That was bizarre. Don't know where that came from, but that was very bizarre. Now, I want to mention some other things. Again, this is an introduction, an overview of what I think I might need to do over a 10-week period. That's the basics. Oppression, attachment, attack, possession, piggybacking, and in the air. Now, let me mention this. The supra-cultural or the supernatural cultural influence. Because of, and I would say this, the last 70 years. And I really want to say that not only from the 1800s on, not only did Aleister Crowley do the Amalantra working in New York, big rituals being done, more of it growing, late 1800s, beginning 1900s, early 1900s, Germany was packed with mediums, seekers of the dead, and occultism was growing. And the Bible predicted there'd be a constant kind of the frog in the kettle approach to the world, but nevertheless, the demons would be coming more in number, more in activity, more in the lives. I mean, just think in terms, 10 people having demonic influence. What about 1,000 people having demonic influence? What about 10 million people having demonic influence? Now we have globally billions spiritually contaminated, infected with the spirit of Antichrist, opening doors through the many, many avenues that are out there. There's so many avenues. So I want to mention some of them right now. Just being in the culture. Doesn't matter if you're in England or Ireland or Germany or Russia, United States and South America and South Africa. To the mission boards, let me say, there's no more third world stuff here. The demonic agenda is global. If we do not prepare based on biblical intel, prophecy, Revelation 12. The enemy is going to seek the whole world. There's a reason why America is being just cluttered with the confusion and corruption and all of the violence, and there's darkness over the land in America. It's part of the biblical prophecy saying what's coming, and more of it is coming. So people can either retreat and stay ignorant and just try to run further away. You're only Well, you're exhibiting utter failure as a disciple of Christ if that's the way you're actually responding consistently, and especially if you're a leader. The cultural influences, let me give a bunch of them. Number one, doctrines of demons. Not just Alice Bailey, Helena Blavatsky, and all the rest, but hundreds of writers guided by spirits and spirit guides, demons, writing hundreds of books and now thousands of books, now millions of websites worldwide that are spiritually guided writings and so forth, didache daemonia, that can bring heavy influence and open doors. And those who are reading it and those who are beginning to believe doctrines of demons, you're going to open right up to the demons. This is true, number two, in fantasy writings. Slender Man and many more. We don't have time to go through all of them. There's many more. I believe that as demonic presence guides writers, even in the world of fantasy, that the actual demonic presence begins to show up in the writings, activities, attributes, workings, even in the imagery that's put out in fantasy, cartooning, writings that can open doors when it comes to kids. Three, gaming. Now, right now I'm doing a deeper looking into the gaming. I'm looking at, matter of fact, a particular one right now called Guild Wars 2 and others, some of which seems to have taken their material straight out of the deep satanic sorcerer books and use what real sorcerers and priestesses and maguses would use. Gaming industry can be demonically, doors can open there. Without question, the music industry, not just going back to some of the deep satanic bands, but in the popular ones around the world, the imagery, the Illuminati issues, those that write the lyrics of songs could be no different than those who write the books of doctrines of demons. Alice Bailey was guided by a demon to write words in a book. Demons can lead artists to write lyrics that are supernaturally charged, that become doctrines teaching lyrics of the demonic realm. There can be a high level of demonization through the use of music and avenue. You got to be careful. How about movies is next. No question about the tons of movies that are out, some of which I believe are designed by occultists with dark influence that demonstrates in the end of the movie, the devil wins, the dark side wins. How about in the area of so-called art? Artwork can be, listen, what if an artist is got a spirit guide and is a demon and it's guiding them to draw things that are dark and oppressive and weird that draw a person in? In all kinds of occultism, there's all kinds of art. All kinds of art in the look at Egypt. Look at the Masons. Look at the concept in the world of the occult artwork. Guided by the demons, guided by a spirit, then you have something that can be charged. What about foods that can be made, that can be offered to idols and demons? What about jewelry? Amulets, power rings, things that are used in the world of the New Age, in the world of Wiccans and others, they might think, well, they're going to put a blessing, a spirit blessing. What spirit? What spirit is on that jewelry? What if you go to garage sales and antique shops and you find whether it's music or movies or art, sometimes even foods, what about jewelry? Spiritually designed, spiritually. Listen, people get inspiration to do jewelry. And if it's from a spirit guide, a demon, then that jewelry could be fashioned after their, you know, of sigils and symbols and things they want, and they want to be upon it. You might pick up a charged piece of jewelry already demonized and be fascinated with it. I went to deal with some girl and some guy at a local church I was called to months back where they had actual demonic presence come into the room. I mean, it was really, I mean, a really an urgent issue. And as she's telling me, I'm looking over and she's wearing an amulet around her neck. I look at it more, and I finally looked at her and said, is that the image of Quetzalcoatl of the Mayans? And she said, yes. that she was urged, moved at a antique place. She was led, guided. She really felt just guided to buy it. Her own family members being, in the context of South America, deep witchcraft, generational Mayan where much blood was shed. She was told to destroy the object. And that brings me to occult objects, no matter what the crystal skulls, charged crystals and other objects and things, you know, dream catchers and the rest can all be, again, doorways. So in a culture where more, and I'm just mentioning an overview, where more and more and more can be doorways for kids and the rest of culture, it doesn't mean that we're overwhelmed. Unless, again, you're not under the lordship of Christ, filled with the Spirit of God, understanding armor, warfare, and the rest. You can't be a strong believer without knowing it all, in the sense of warfare and mission and ministry. You can't really be effective in evangelism if you're not going to know how to deal with the demonic realm stopping you from even evangelizing, let alone you running into a demonized individual. Or somebody that has a demonic object. An old guy that I witnessed to years and years ago showed up in my house at a Bible study almost 18 years later. After engaging him a little bit, you know what he did? He might be listening to this, and I hope to see him again soon. The occult power object he had around his neck that he kept clinging to, and then pretty much hurriedly got out of the way and got away from me 18 years ago. He not only was surrendering to Jesus here in my household, but he brought the actual demonized object and he surrendered it to be destroyed. He surrendered an old high-powered deck of tarot cards to be destroyed. Now let me mention quickly here two other areas when it comes to spiritual warfare that we need hours to deal with. I'm going to call this relational spiritual warfare. Number one, trauma. The level of sexual assaults and sexual predators and sexual rapes among children specifically, let alone adults even, is enormous. When assaults occur, pain, fear, and terror can come into a child's life that moves them into passivity, that buries many times the trauma, and it's very possible that the perpetrator being guided by the demonic, demons can transfer over, or just simply try to attach to the pain, the terror, the fear, and the passivity, so much so a person is terrified to even go down and deal with an area, and they don't realize that it's not just the trauma they once experienced, but demonic presence is holding it in them. You can take time to break and command the demonic power and presence over an area of trauma to get out, to get lost, so that you can bring the pain of the blood and the guts and the hurt to Jesus to heal the brokenhearted. Did I not read that out of Isaiah? Jesus came. He's been sent to heal the brokenhearted. And I pray that for you right now. In the context of relational spiritual warfare, transference. All of a sudden you're in a relationship with somebody and you realize, hey, they're into spirits, they're into spirit guides, they're into some practice where there's real spiritual stuff. It's not from God. Or your family members begin to bring things in the home. Or you get into relationships and you begin to, get into the sexual acts, sexual connection, and there can be transference of demonic presence from one person already affected to the other person that yields to the relationship. Now, here's some newer things we need to talk about. I only have a minute or two to share this, but the new things that everyone, it's already here, it's been here for years, decades now, but it's becoming more evident and all believers need to know, occult spiritual warfare. If there's a billion New Agers and tens of millions of occultists and the tons of possibilities, well, let me give you four areas. spells, just any kind of thing, a hex, a curse, a spell, whether it's Wiccan, Druid, Santeria, Palo, you know, all these, all kinds of folks that learned how to, seek the spirits and do a spell and curse somebody, to harm somebody. There's also blood rituals that bring the demons. And I think, again, blood rituals, specifically human, are the most powerful doorways for demons to quickly come over. And yet now there's ritual warfare. The ritual is done to summon the demon, to send the demon against believers and others. How about astral projection, where they're able to project out of their body, empowered by demonic presence, though they may not know that. And yet they come to do things. Sexual, touch, into your room, influence, remote influence. You got to target the demonic that is empowering the person doing it, which will shut them down, and pray that God engage them. And then fourth thing is objects that are demonized. We already mentioned this, but I'm talking about bigger things. Actual idols, temple idols and artifacts and those who are into archaeology and so forth. You got to be very careful concerning the objects. You walk into the New Age shop there in Southern California, and there's a crystal skull named Max. They know that it's charged. That means, well, in our view of it, it's demonized. They say energy is on it. That if you sit passively and meditate and yield to it, it can begin to communicate and send thoughts into your head. Well, it's because it's an entity. If you have energy emanating from some object, that energy most likely is a demonic entity just simply projecting its presence. You got any of those objects in your home that need to be destroyed? Well, listen, in the last couple of minutes, you're going to see why I probably need to do 10 weeks on all of this. In all of this, number one, recognize the issues of spiritual warfare and the avenues of the enemy. And, you know, Paul said it very clearly that we're not ignorant. We're not willfully unaware of the devil's schemes. If you're unaware of the devil's schemes, you're not reading your Bible right. If you're unaware of all of this, then you may have more defeats and difficulties and walking through a spiritual cow pasture unaware, you're going to get contaminated. So recognize whatever comes. If you need to close doors, repent before the Lord and shut the doorways and the avenues the enemy uses. Thirdly, renounce any family lines, any things you've been, you know, people you've been with, things you did in the past, occult doors you opened. You know, recognize, repent, and renounce. And then I want to say this. The fourth thing to always do is to completely burn the bridges. To take the objects, the stuff, totally command in the name of Jesus all the demonic out. Ask the Lord to deliver you. Seek to be filled with Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Word of God, filled with prayer. You'll know the difference. Listen, this is Russ Dizdar, the Ragged Edge Radio Broadcast. ShatterTheDarkness.net. If you go to the website, on the right is the courses. Hours and hours in the context of spiritual warfare. What do you think? Do I need to do 10 weeks on all of this? I pray God's engagement of you. I pray that if you're not saved, come to Christ right now. Turn to Jesus. The Word of God says that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. His power, His presence in your life means everything. We love you tonight. Remember us in your prayers. Remember us in support. Good night.